And the Lord's word to Ananias concerning Saul, Acts 9 and verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, to Ananias, when he was commissioned to go and speak to Saul, he didn't want to go, and the Lord persuaded him in a vision. But the Lord said unto Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so Ananias goes, and you know the story, and Saul receives his sight and so on. But that was by way of introduction. So what I'd like to do for 20 minutes is speak a bit about Saul, who he was, and so on. And I think that way we get maybe, at least I did, I got a better appreciation for the Lord's working with this young man as he was at the time. Okay, so we're going to flip the scriptures about, and we're going to start in Acts 22 in verse 3. Acts 22 in verse 3. And this is where Paul is giving his defense before the Jewish council, when he's been taken by the centurion who saved his life and so on. And so Saul starts to speak. And when they hear him speaking in the Hebrew tongue, everybody gets quiet to listen to what he's going to say. And so Paul says in Acts 22 and verse 3, I am truly a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia. So, who he was, he begins with his birth here, and he tells us that he was born in the province of Cilicia, a Roman province, and in that province, he was born in the town of Tarsus. So, we know then, in his birth, that where he was born in the town or the city of Tarsus in the province of Cilicia. So that's the starting point for Saul, where he was born. The second thing, who were his parents? Who were his parents? Well, I think there's a hint. If you turn to Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, and I think there's a hint there about who his parents were, or something about his parents. Philippians 3 and verse 5. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day. This is Saul speaking. Circumcised the eighth day, I was of the stock of Israel. I was an Israelite, of the tribe of Benjamin, so 12 tribes. Not only was I an Israelite, but I can tell you the tribe I came from. It was the tribe of Benjamin. Now, this expression that comes next, an Hebrew of the Hebrews. Now, I take that to mean this, that both Saul's parents were Jewish. They were Hebrews. And he said, because they were Hebrews, I also was a Hebrew. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. So his parents were both, if I could put it this way, they were both pure-blooded Jewish people, husband and wife. And when Saul was born, he was born into that family, and he then, by the rights of his parents, was a Hebrew as well. Now, in contrast to that, if you just go to Acts 16, I think for a contrast, that in the life of Timothy, the reason why I point that out, the life of Timothy, in Acts 16 and verse 1, Then Paul, or Saul, came to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. That's Timothy. The son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. So, Timothy, unlike Paul, Timothy had a Jewish mother and a Gentile father. But Paul, in contrast to that, and where he's speaking before that Jewish group in Acts 22, he tells them, look, I'm a pure-blooded Hebrew. Both my parents were the same, and so there you are. And when he mentioned all that, he was getting a good audience with the people, so he mentioned that on the way. Philippians 3 again. This is worth mentioning. Philippians chapter 3, if we just flip back there again. Philippians 3, in the same verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day, that was according to Mosaic law, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Now, he was of the tribe of Benjamin. His parents, therefore, were of the tribe of Benjamin. And when little Saul was born into this Orthodox Jewish family, what will we name him? Ah, the father probably said, I know what we'll name him. We'll name him Saul. We'll name him Saul. You mind working on that? Who was the first king of Israel? Saul, who was a Benjamite. And the proud parents named their son after King Saul of the tribe of Benjamin, the first king of Israel. So, there you are. That was who he was. Where he was born? In Tarsus. Who his parents were? Both Jewish. His name? Saul. First king of Israel from Benjamin? Saul, the king who was the king before David took the place of Saul. So there you are. Very proud parents. The second thing I'd like us to notice about him is his education. His education. Now, we have to go back to Acts 22 in verse 3. So back to Acts 22 in verse 3, again where Paul's speaking to the Jewish eldership. Acts 22 in verse 3. I am truly a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet, brought up in this city. What city is that? That's Jerusalem. That's Jerusalem. Brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, who was one of the great doctors of the law. There was two different schools of Jewish thought, and this is one of them. And I take it that Saul's parents were so proud of their son that they said, we're going to send him to Jerusalem for his education. We're going to get him educated with the best Jewish teacher that we can find. And so he was sent to Jerusalem, and Saul here says, I was brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, which is an expression to show who his teacher was. He was taught by Gamaliel the things of the Jewish law. And so he learned them very well. It's possible that Saul as a young man had learned at least the Pentateuch of by heart. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and maybe more of the Old Testament. They were devoted to to the Scriptures and the learning of them. And so he was educated in Jerusalem. But here's the thing now. He was raised in Cilicia, a Greek culture. So here's a man now. Here's a man, Saul. Who not only knows Gentile culture, he's a Jew, but he also knows Jewish customs and traditions and worships and so on. So he's a well-balanced individual in his education for what the Lord was calling him to. Remember the verse in Acts 9, he's a chosen vessel to bear my name before kings and the Gentiles and the children of Israel, and I will show him what great things he will suffer for my name's sake. So there's a part of his education. Now, go back again to chapter 21 of Acts, since you're in 22. 21 and 37. Paul's getting torn to pieces by the Jews here. And the centurion saves him. And we're reading verse 37. And as Paul was led into the castle in defense by the Roman centurion, as Paul was led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, "Canst thou speak Greek?" In other words, he was surprised that Paul addressed him in the Greek tongue. So again, part of his education, Gentile culture, Jewish culture, he knew how to speak Greek. And verse 39, and Paul said to the chief centurion, "I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. And I beseech thee to suffer me to speak unto the people." And so, the chief centurion allows Paul to address the Jews. Now, verse 40. And when he had given him silence, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with his hand unto the people. And when there was a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue. In the Hebrew tongue. So, what an educated this man this is. Born in Tarsus, Jewish parents, educated in Jerusalem, Gentile culture in Cilicia, Jewish culture in Jerusalem. He can speak Greek, and he can speak Hebrew. What else is to be said about this man? Well, there's one more thing. There's one more thing to be said about him, and it's in Acts 22 and verse 28. Verse 27 for connection. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, "Tell me, art thou a Roman? Art thou a Roman?" He said, "Yes." And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." The chief centurion said, I wasn't born a Roman, but I paid a hefty sum of money in order to get citizenship as a Roman. Paul said, "I'm a Roman too, but the difference between you and I is I was born a Roman. I was born a Roman." Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him, and the chief captain also was afraid, after that he knew he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. So you put all these things together, and you've got a man that the Lord has his eye upon to do a work, to do a worldwide work, as it were, not circumscribed to Jerusalem or Judaism, but a man who has a world view of things. And that's the man that is converted on the road to Damascus. Now, I want to say a few other things about him now. I think we've established who he is, a well-rounded character. Now, if we flip back, keeping in mind that he was educated in Jerusalem, he was brought there as a young man, and he was born in Cilicia. Now, if you go back to Acts chapter 6, this is where you're going to have to think a few things through. If you go back to Acts chapter 6, during the ministry of Stephen, in Acts chapter 6, in verse 9, verse 8 for connection, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." That's Stephen, who was one of the deacons. And here he's coming to the forward, coming to the forefront, to give a marvelous testimony to the God of Israel. In verse 9, "Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which was called the synagogue of the libertines." That is the freedmen. The freedmen. Not only that, but there were Cyrenians and Alexandrians. Now listen to the next part. "And of them of Cilicia." Them of Cilicia. There was a group of Jewish zealots from Cilicia who had a school, as it were, together in Jerusalem, and they were contending with Stephen the martyr, the man who became the martyr. They from Cilicia. Now, I'm going to suggest this, that I believe, and it's obvious that Saul was one of them. Saul was one of them who was debating with Stephen the Christian, debating with him, disputing with Stephen. But you know, I like what it says in verse 10. "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke." They weren't able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. And you know, I'm convinced that that was probably one of the very first things that spoke to Saul. That here's a man, he's only a deacon in a church. He's only a deacon. He's nothing. And here I am with all my culture and all my education, and I can't stand disputing with him. It defeats me everything we ask him. And that was a convicting thing, I believe, to Saul. When they couldn't resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. There's something different about that man than what I am. And that was the first step. I think that was the first link in the chain. Now, if you go to Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 7 and 58. And this is after Stephen has given his marvelous address before the high priest in Acts chapter 7. In verse 58, "And they cast him out of the city," that's Stephen, "and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul." In other words, they're going to take their jackets off, and Saul says, as it were, "I'll look after your clothes while you do the work of stoning." They laid their clothes a young man's feet. He was in charge of the clothing for the people who were doing the stoning. And he was a young man. They laid their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And when he's speaking in Acts 22 to the Jewish people, he says that those who stoned Stephen, I was there, and I was the one who was watching their clothes while they were doing the stoning. So he was a part of that rabble crowd there. But after that, I'm sure that spoke to him with great conviction as he was taking a step-by-step journey to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his own personal Saviour. Now, let me see what time it is. I've got one last thing I want to share in my investigation, as it were. Now, you probably won't agree with me on this, but I'm going to share it anyway. Matthew chapter 19. I think we're all familiar with this story. There's a young man comes to Jesus Christ in Matthew 19. And in verse 16, we read these words. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now, this is before Stephen and all that in the Acts. There's a young man comes to the Lord, and he wants to know what he can do to inherit eternal life. I believe he was very, very sincere. He was very sincere, as the story points out as we go. Verse 17, And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. The man who comes says, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Lord tells him the commandments that he should keep. Now, what does he say? Verse 20, And the young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? He was a devout law keeper. And he said later in Philippians 3, we won't turn to it, but he said this concerning his previous life, concerning the righteousness which was in the law, he said, I was blameless. I was blameless. And I'm sure that this was an honest answer that this young man gave to the Lord. All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? We're starting to get the picture. Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, do I have to say it? I'm of the opinion, and if you don't agree with me, that's fine. I'm of the opinion that this was Saul of Tarsus that was speaking to Jesus. The whole thing fits together. And when he comes to the Lord and learns about law keeping and so on, it says he went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful for the great possessions. Is that the last we're going to hear about this person? He's had an interview with Jesus Christ and he goes away sorrowful. Could I say this? The Lord's not finished with him yet. The Lord's not finished with them yet. So that's just a wee introduction to what we hope to share about Saul then on the Damascus Road, how things get very, very serious. And so let's just close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the reading of Thy Word today concerning this young man Saul. And we thank Thee how in his after years he met Jesus Christ, not now on the dusty streets of the city, but he heard a voice from heavenly glory. And so, bless the word then to us today as we give thanks now in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. Amen.